from the Young Turks. Fascinating show today. We are going to have a story about WikiLeaks. You guys might have already seen some of it, but we might have an interesting debate on the issue. Anna's going to come present that story in a little bit, and her and I might disagree, and perhaps wholeheartedly. That ought to be fascinating. And then there's a question of Jeff Sessions. Is he trying to open up a political investigation of Hillary Clinton? Well, that's not as clear as a lot of people have made that out to be, and that's going to be interesting. Now, come on, aren't you slightly curious who's going to be on the side of WikiLeaks and who's going to be against them? Interesting. That's a little bit later in the program. And then devastating news about John Travolta, and more revelations about Roy Moore and what the Republican Party is doing about it. Man, at Moore, you read the stuff that he did, it is just, he's a predator, that's all he is. And a guy who did something similar to Roy Moore, did he get prison time in Alabama? And how much prison time? That is an amazing story. So big, big show up ahead. But first, I've got exciting announcements about Just Democrats. These are always fun, right? And there's more to come, there's more to come, but let's go do it right now. We have 4 new Justice Democrats, bringing the total to 32. Man, we are not playing around. And these are some excellent candidates. Wait till you get a load of these folks. I want to show you the new slate now. It includes the 2 senatorial candidates, Alison Hartson in California and Paula Jean Swearengin in West Virginia. But the 4 people with the yellow tabs are the new candidates that I'm going to tell you about right now. And you're going to love them. Okay, first of all, if you want to contribute to those 4 new candidates, justdemocrats.com/too strong. And as you're going to see, some of them are going to win. And I love that they're on our team. So let me show you the first one. Antoinette Cedillo Lopez. She is running in New Mexico's 1st district. So what's her story? Well, she was executive director of Enlace Comunitario. That was an anti-domestic violence nonprofit that serves all of central New Mexico, but also does outreach to the Latino community, make sure that they're okay. She served as a law professor at University of New Mexico for over 27 years. But here's the thing, she's gonna win. She's already raised over $330,000. She's a leader in this race. She is a true progressive. She is endorsed by Raul Grijalva and Jamie Raskin, two progressive lions in the House of Representatives. The current representative there is Michelle Luan Grisham, but she's stepping down. So it's an open seat. It's Democrat plus 7, which means Democrats are very, very likely to win. So there's no excuse for not having a progressive strong voice in that seat. Oftentimes, the Democratic Party will make excuses about, oh, but no, we had to make sure it's a purple thing, or we had to make sure that this corporate Democrat won. No, she's the leader in the race. She's got the most money in the race, taking away all excuses. And you guys contribute to her, you volunteer towards her, and you're going to put her over the top, and she's going to win. So we're going to get these people in Congress. This is what change looks like. Just one of the 4. But first, let me just give you her quote, because I loved it. She said, "I am honored to become a Justice Democrat and have their support in our fight to deliver progressive change for the working people of this district. With their help, we will continue to build our campaign's momentum and develop the grassroots movement needed to win in 2018. That is exactly right. So support Lopez. Let's get a real progressive in New Mexico there. So she is the leading candidate, and it would be wonderful if she was in Congress. Remember, Just Democrats are the uncorrupted, no corporate PAC money. Okay, so you can trust her that she's going to do the right thing. She believes in the Just Democratic platform, and she believes that you need to be a strong progressive and not serve the donors. That's why it's your small donor money that makes a difference. Now wait till you get a load on the next guy, James Thompson. So if you don't know about James, he nearly pulled off a miracle in Kansas. He was running against Ron Estes, who's a Republican there. And that seat was a 20-point Republican advantage in the middle of Kansas. So everybody said, oh, that's not possible. And it was a special election to replace one of Trump's appointments. And he only had 80 days. He had no name recognition. It's a 20-point lead for the Republicans. He came within 6 points in just a couple of weeks with no name recognition. This time, he's coming loaded for bear. He's got over $907,000 already. He's the leading candidate on the Democratic side. He almost caught the Republican last time. This time, he's going to finish the job because he's now got a year to campaign. People know his name. People are behind him. Our revolution is supporting him. And now he is a Justice Democrat. Let me read you his quote. I'm honored to join the Justice Democrats. My campaign is focused on the people first policies our party needs to uphold. I know if we stay true to our progressive values, we can elect Democrats across the country. It's exciting to be part of a team that puts people over party. Works to get dark money out of politics and ensures the constitutional rights of every man, woman, and child in America. I will fight like hell to win in 2018, and being part of the Justice Democrats team is a huge boost of momentum to the movement we built here in Kansas. I love it. The uncorrupted get money out of politics, get the dark money out, get it all out, get the big donor money out. No corporate PACs. These guys cannot be bought. Okay, so they represent you guys. You are their small donors, you are their voters. You are the guys that they're gonna fight for, just like James Thompson said. If we win in Kansas there in a seat that was that heavily Republican, there's no end to where we can win in America. And he's this close, put him over the top, and he could be a congressman and shake up the whole Congress from that area. So go to thejustdemocrats.com overall, check out all their websites. I want you to, and we'll have links to all their websites in the video description box below. And justdemocrats.com/too strong to make sure that you guys, that's also will be in the link down below, to make sure that they have enough small donor money to win. Wait till you get a load of the next guy. This guy's a world beater. His name is Kaniela Ng. He's Hawaii's first district. This guy's amazing. He's 28 years old. And wait till you get a load of his history, okay? So he's launched on Monday. He's the first one. This is going to be an open seat as well. Hawaii is heavily, heavily Democratic. Colleen Hanabusa is running for governor, so that's why it's open. He's the leader in the race, and he is a super strong progressive. Let me show you some of his accomplishments already. He passed same-day voter registration for the first time in Hawaii. How's that, man? There you go. Get people registered, get them to vote. Building Hawaii's first 100% renewable energy high school. I'm going to remind you, this guy's 28. How did he get all this stuff done? Wait till you hear the story of what he did in his first election. He helped to legalize industrial hemp to phase out big business sugar plantations. He fought to democratize farmers' water access, serving as the youngest chair of the Ocean Marine Resources and Hawaiian Affairs Committee. Unreal. So how did he get in office? He started running when he was 22, but he had no chance because he was in the one state district in Hawaii that was heavily Republican. In fact, it was represented by a Tea Party guy, a Tea Party Republican. And this guy has no money. He worked literally in the pineapple fields growing up, came out of poverty. So native guy, Hawaiian through and through. How did he do it? He literally climbed gates. He knocked on, are you ready for this? 15,000 doors by himself. This time around, you're going to help him, okay? He's going to have volunteers. He's going to have your donations. You guys are going to do it together. But wait, how did he beat the Tea Party Republican if this is the one Republican, area of Hawaii? Not only did he beat him, you want to see what the score was at the end in the 2012 election? At the age of 23, he got 61%, and George Fontaine got only 35%. That was the incumbent. He crushed the incumbent in a race they said he had no chance of winning. You run as a strong progressive. He ran as the strongest progressive in Hawaii, okay, against a guy who had won the district as a Tea Party Republican. If you run as a strong, uncorrupted progressive, there's no end to what you can accomplish. That's exactly what the Justice Democrats are about. In fact, I love his quote. He said, I'm a Justice Democrat because I believe that when Democrats put people before profits, reject big money corporate corruption, and fight for working families, we win. I was first elected in 2012 at 23 years old by taking on corporate establishment in both parties. I personally knocked on 15,000 doors and won by a landslide despite being grossly outspent. By the way, I should pause here to tell you, you know how much he was outspent? 10 to 1. His opponent, an incumbent, outspent him 10-1. But he outworked his opponent. He went and knocked on all those doors over and over again, and he won. Man, that's an amazing story. But let me keep going with this quote. He said, "I've been a Justice Democrat before it was even a thing. I have earned establishment-induced battle scars to prove it. Standing together, we will take our progressive values to DC, shake up the establishment, and return the Democratic Party to its progressive roots." What did I tell you guys? You're gonna love these candidates. They don't take any big corporate money. They work for you, and they are warriors. That's exactly what Kaniella Ng is. Last one from today's announcements is Samina Mustafa. She's running in Illinois' 5th district. She has managed Planned Parenthood Area Clinic on West Side of Chicago. She's not running away from Planned Parenthood like some establishment Democrats. She's running towards it. She worked there. She also founded Hand Her the Mic. It's a dedicated to empowering women of color through comedy. And the list goes on and on. Now, in that district, you already have a Democrat. His name is Mike Quigley, but he's against Medicare for All. And he's almost completely inaccessible to his voters. And most of his funding comes from super PACs and corporations. That district is D plus 17. You know what that means? The Democrats have a 17-point advantage there. Why do we have a corporate Democrat who won't even talk to his voters in a district like that? The Republicans would never tolerate it. They'd get somebody that was hard right wing. In our case, the progressive positions, if you look at the justdemocrats.com/platform, you will see that almost all those positions have at least 60% approval in the country. It's not just that they're progressive positions, they're deeply popular positions. So why not have an actual progressive in that race who's uncorrupted, and that's Samina Mustafa. One more time, guys, you're the ones that make this happen. You either make it happen or you don't. They either get your support and they win or they don't. It's all up to you. So justicedemocrats.com/too strong. All the links will be in the description box when we put this up on YouTube and other platforms. You gotta go and show up, and you are the cavalry. And together, we're gonna change this Congress. And I'm telling you right now, we're gonna change this world. This is how you do it. Of course, when we announced the group, they didn't believe. Now we've got 32 incredibly strong Justice Democratic candidates, and more to come. Watch out, establishment. We are coming. All right, can I see the first time we're looking at justdemocrats.com/too strong here? We're trying to raise $24,000 today. Can I see 24,000? We start with 2,648. Can I see 24,000? Look, 24,000 is not much to ask for, okay? But you have no idea how much of a difference that makes to these candidates. Because some of them have raised a lot of money, but others are in the $45,000-$50,000 range. So some people will say, hey, Cenk, you're taking a side. Goddamn right I am. Okay, so let's go get them. Can I see justdemocrats.com/Allison? Let's see where she's at. She was trying to get to 147,000. You guys know she made it, right? I was in Portugal, so I'm not sure. We did talk about it on the show. She made it in time for Monday. We were trying to get it by Monday of last week, and she did it. And now she's up to 177,000. Now she needs a little bit more, because beating Dianne Feinstein in a Senate race in California is a gigantic undertaking. By the way, I can't announce it yet, but we've got new allies in that fight too. They have no idea what's about to hit them. It's gonna be awesome. All right, I'm gonna take a break here. We're gonna come back. Anna's gonna tell you all about WikiLeaks, Donald Trump Jr., Roy Moore, and so many updates. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Let me read a couple of quick tweets, and then we got a lot of stories for you. I Am Sox says, well, now I wanna run too. How hard would it be to beat Fred Upton? But by the way, guys, we make some real decisions. They're not easy, and some are some races are harder than you might imagine. So we're trying to make the best calls and pick the best candidates. And I think we got a great bunch. So go out there and support them. The Crazy Atheist says we need just Democrats for Nebraska, brother. We need just Democrats everywhere. So one thing at a time. We're growing bigger and bigger. We got to make sure that we can manage all this and get those wins home for you guys. And finally, Social Justice Rogue says, Kaniella Ng knocked on 15,000 doors. How's that for bootstraps, Republicans? Well, his opponent, George Fontaine, knows a thing or two about Ng's bootstraps because he whipped him with them. So Kanyala was a regular guy. So you know what he was doing when he was running for the first political office in Hawaii, the state office? He was a personal trainer. He had to get up at 4 in the morning, go and do the personal trainer stuff at the gym, and then leave and go on knocking all those doors.
Yeah.
And he met enough people in that district personally to swing the vote from pro-Republican to a landslide for himself. It's really one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard in politics. So those are your Justice Democrats.
Yep.
All right, Casper, what's next?
All right. The Atlantic has unearthed some evidence indicating that Donald Trump Jr. was in direct contact with WikiLeaks during the last presidential election. Now, there are different elements that make this story relevant, especially pertaining to some of the investigations that are ongoing in regard to Russia and potential Russian meddling in this past election. Before we get into the details of the direct messages that they shared with one another, there is some reason to believe that some of the leaked information obtained by WikiLeaks was given to them by the Russian government. Now, that is based on analysis by US intelligence agencies and organizations, but you know, there are skeptics when it comes to that portion of the story. But with that said, I want to give you guys what their communication was and what kind of actions they took, meaning members of the Trump campaign, after they were given certain links and certain information from WikiLeaks.
So before you get started, let me just clarify that I'm among the skeptics, and including in this the importance of this story. All over TV, all over the media, Anna's going to give you the details. Let's give you the facts first, and then discuss whether it is groundbreaking collusion or not.
So first, how do we have knowledge of this correspondence? Well, WikiLeaks made a series of increasingly bold requests, including asking for Trump's tax returns, urging the Trump campaign on election day to reject the results of the election as rigged, and requesting that the president-elect tell Australia to appoint Julian Assange ambassador to the United States. The messages were turned over to Congress as part of the body's various ongoing investigations into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. They were turned over to Congress by Donald Trump Jr. and his lawyer, and they are cooperating with the investigation, so credit where credit is due. But that is where this information is from, and the Atlantic obtained this information and reported on it late yesterday. So here's where it all began. The first message sent to Donald Trump Jr. was September 20th of 2016. And in that message, someone from WikiLeaks, we don't know exactly who it was, essentially let Donald Trump Jr. know about an anti-Trump website. And somehow they managed to get the password to that website and told Donald Trump Jr., you should look into who is behind this website. Donald Trump Jr. actually responded to that and said, I'll ask around. And he did ask around. And so he notified a number of people affiliated with the Trump campaign, including the son-in-law, Jared Kushner, a number of campaign officials. And through that, you know, they forwarded the information to one another, Kellyanne Conway, Steve Bannon, Brad Praskill, and also Jared Kushner, as I mentioned earlier.
I think among these revelations, there is one relevant one. This one is among, in my opinion, completely irrelevant ones. So there's a website, we told you about it and you looked into it. Whoop-de-doo. That you could have found out about the website in a thousand different ways. The New York Times could have called him and said there's a website, and he could say, I look into it.
Okay, and so since Cenk prefaced any and all commentary he's about to give with like what his overall take is, I'll give you my overall take. I disagree with Cenk in regard to this not being a big deal. That portion of what we know, I think, is not that big of a deal. But as we get deeper into the communication that they had, I think it becomes more and more significant and relevant. Not necessarily in regard to potential Russian meddling, but for me, it's more important to do an analysis of whether or not WikiLeaks has a political motive. And I think these communications make it clear that there was a political motive to help the Trump campaign. So let me go on. In July of 2016, on the first day of the Democratic National Convention, WikiLeaks released emails stolen from the Democratic National Committee servers that spring. The emails show DNC officials denigrating Bernie Sanders, renewing tensions on the eve of Clinton's acceptance of the nomination. So that's fine. That was included in the report. Less than an hour after the Washington Post released the Access Hollywood tape in which Trump bragged about sexually assaulting women, WikiLeaks released emails that hackers had found from the personal email or stolen from the personal email account of Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta. So they're setting the stage to show that already it seemed as though there was a political motive. And then when you look at the private messages that Donald Trump Jr. and WikiLeaks had with one another, it further reinforces that notion. On October 3rd of 2016, go ahead.
Sorry, I want to be clear. I think that WikiLeaks was on Trump's side. And I think the fact that they published some of the emails right after the Access Hollywood tapes is decent evidence of that. And there is a lot of evidence of it, including one damning part that we're going to get to in a second.
Yeah.
So I'm not disputing that. On the other hand, who's talking about the stolen Hollywood Access tapes? And where did the Washington Post get them? And who wanted to interfere with our elections and gave those stolen tapes to the Washington Post?
I don't think there was ever a question that a foreign government obtained those tapes and then leaked them in an effort to meddle in the election.
But look at the framing,
Anna.
There's
a difference.
Look at the framing there. Yeah, look at the framing though. The emails are always referred to as stolen. The Pentagon Papers are not referred to as stolen, but you can make an argument. Hollywood Access tapes are not referred to as stolen ever by the media. But where did they get them from? And who got them? Did they have permission from whoever the owner of Hollywood Access is, whichever giant company? No, they took them without permission. There's another word for that, stolen. So it's just a matter of how you want to frame it. If you give it to the Washington Post, well, that's awesome because they're a media organization. You give it to WikiLeaks, we don't like them. They're mean. They're the bad guys.
Yeah.
So
there is obviously mainstream media bias against WikiLeaks. I think that's well known. But I want you guys to just focus on what WikiLeaks is transparent about when they are messaging Donald Trump Jr. because they're very clear about what their intentions are. So regardless of media bias doesn't play a role in these direct communications. So keep that in mind. So on October 3rd of 2016, WikiLeaks wrote again, "Hiya. It'd be great if you guys could comment on or push this story," WikiLeaks suggested, attaching a quote from then Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton about wanting to just drone WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Donald Trump Jr. did respond to that, and he said already did that earlier today. It's amazing what she can get away with.
Now, look, I can't stand the Trumps. I worked super hard to make sure they didn't win. I am very clear with my perspective. There is nothing wrong with what Donald Trump Jr. said there. In fact, it is absolutely outrageous that the rest of the press gave Hillary Clinton a pass for wanting to murder what could be considered, I think somewhat correctly and accurately so by Anna, as she pointed out earlier, a political opponent. So even if you grant WikiLeaks is an opponent of hers, she wanted to murder a political opponent. If Trump had said it, the world would have exploded and you know it. She said it. I don't know, was she joking? It didn't sound like she was joking. She wasn't joking. And even if Trump was joking when he said that, it would have been news 24/7. And it should be, because Trump is abhorrent and you shouldn't say things like that. What I'm annoyed by is whenever the establishment Republicans or Democrats do it, they get a total pass.
Yeah. Look, here's my issue with all of this, right? The connection to Russia is not clear enough for me, in meaning that, okay, our intelligence organizations say that Russia stole these emails or hacked into these emails. I'm not personally convinced by that because they haven't really shared that evidence with us yet. Just saying that they believe it and they believe it to be true is not good enough for me. But that being said, for me, what this story communicated was WikiLeaks is not some journalistic organization, which by the way, I was supportive of WikiLeaks even after all of this Hillary Clinton stuff came out, because my view of them was they obtain damning, evidence that speaks truth to power and they leak it. And they're You know, to say that there are never any political motivations or biases is naive, right? But I did not have proof of how deep the bias was during this past election. And I think that's relevant for people who are looking at an organization as like WikiLeaks, thinking, hey, this is a credible organization that has no political bias. Clearly, they did. And there's a lot of evidence here to prove it, which unfortunately we haven't even gotten to yet. So let me get to that.
Hold on. But I gotta wait. I agree and disagree in parts. So the part I agree with you, and I'll go even further, is that even Mike Pompeo, Trump's CIA director, not Obama's, Trump's CIA director, says that he thinks there is a connection between WikiLeaks and Russia. So now you take that for whatever it's worth. So it's a data point, and I do take that seriously. At the same time, you know, almost everybody that works in the US government, both establishment Republicans and Democrats, hate WikiLeaks with a passion, so I'll take it with a big grain of salt. Now, on the issue of whether they're credible journalists, that's where I disagree with you. Yes, I think this story does prove that they were clearly on Trump's side. That doesn't mean that they can't be credible. It doesn't mean that the stuff that they leaked isn't true. It was true.
But there's also
and they
the
are
question,
still a media organization.
There is also the question of what they refuse to leak or what they refuse to talk about. Like the oligarchs, the Russian oligarchs that were implicated in the Panama Papers, and how WikiLeaks, you know, refused to do any type of work on that issue. So I think that this communication, their very clear support of the Trump campaign, coupled with the fact that there were certain things that they refused to leak, you know, draws a picture that concerns me about their credibility. So I'm just putting that out there.
Okay, I understand. Right. And if you want to take it with a grain of salt, that's fine. And in fact, I'll go further and say, look, they hurt their credibility more when they're not honest about their perspective. Because that's, to me, Fox News, that's fine. They're conservatives, we don't like them, and I think they're wrong on each issue, and we debate them. The problem isn't that. The problem is they call themselves fair and balanced, and they're not fair and balanced. That's a joke, and everybody knows it. So I would hope that WikiLeaks wouldn't continue to make the same mistake. Whatever your perspective is, you should be open and honest about it. We're very honest about our perspective. And I don't think, given this story, among others, I agree with Anna that they have not been open about what their perspective is.
So let's give you a little bit more of their communication. So at one point, WikiLeaks sent to Donald Trump Jr., strongly suggest your dad tweets this link if he mentions us. WikiLeaks went on, pointing Trump Jr. to the link WLSearch.tk, which it said would help Trump's followers dig through the trove of stolen documents and find stories. There's many great stories the press are missing, and we're sure some of your followers or follows will find it. By the way, just released Podesta Emails Part 4. Then, just 15 minutes after that message was sent, Wall Street Journal's Byron Tao pointed out that Donald Trump himself tweeted, very little pickup by the dishonest media of incredible information provided by WikiLeaks, so dishonest, rigged system.
So, in that case, does it show that the Trump campaign is communicating with WikiLeaks? Yes, of course. He didn't randomly do it 15 minutes later. He did it because of that communication with WikiLeaks. But the stuff was public anyway. And have journalists sent out their articles to the people that they wrote about in hopes that they would be shared on social media? Almost every time, every day. So if any other journalist said, hey, here's the article I wrote about you or about someone else and sent it to you, it would be the biggest no big deal of all time. When it happens with WikiLeaks, oh my God, they wanted their link publicized. Of course they wanted their link publicized, so does everyone.
Right, so look, I agree with you on the surface, right? So if it is proven that they did not obtain their information from Russia and there wasn't Russian meddling, then you're absolutely right. WikiLeaks should not be treated any differently than any other media organization. But the concern here is that a foreign government is meddling in our election process. And if that is proven, I think that, you know, these types of communications are relevant.
I wanna be really clear about this. And I know that it's a tough distinction, but I think it's an important one. If Russia says, hey, I stole these emails, Trump, would you like them? I think that's a giant problem. And I've talked about that in the past many times on the show. That is a real issue, and it has legal ramifications, and it should be thoroughly investigated, and I'm thrilled that they're investigating them, okay? But Russia or anyone else gets access to information passes on to someone in the media.
Russia didn't get access to information. They stole and they hacked.
Whatever, Daniel Ellsberg stole the Pentagon Papers, and people will find that outrageous. But he got them without permission and gave them to the New York Times. Almost every single leak is without permission given to a member of the media, and we never complain about that. You'd have to arrest 3/4 of Washington if those were all stolen.
You're talking about American whistleblowers or American leakers. We're talking about the influence of a foreign government possibly having an impact on our election. So that's what makes it different, right?
So if Canada somehow got some information and it was super relevant to the American people, should the New York Times print it? My answer is absolutely. And so if you don't agree and you say no, Canada, Russia, no, New York Times should suppress the information because it came from a foreign government, either one that's friendly to us like Canada or one that's not friendly to us like Russia. Okay, those are all fine points of disagreement. I say they should publish it because the American people have a right to know. I think there was incredibly valuable information in those emails, and I don't think the Russians should have stolen it. I don't think the Trump people should have worked with the Russians. Those are legal issues, okay? But when you give it to a media organization, yes, the media organization has every right to print them.
All right, so let's move on to, by the way, 2 days after they shared that link with Donald Trump Jr., he also tweeted it out. Again, the link that was provided to him by WikiLeaks. Now, moving forward, let's go to graphic 23. On election day, November 8th, 2016, this is when things get interesting. WikiLeaks wrote to Donald Trump Jr., "Hi Don, if your father loses, we think it is much more interesting if he does not concede and spends time challenging the media and other types of rigging that occurred, as he has implied that he might do." So that is, honestly, it riled me up more than I expected it to, because that is going to lead to complete chaos and turmoil in the United States, and you're now pushing for that, right? And you are now undermining and questioning the election process. And by the way, rigging is an interesting word used in this context. The DNC was dirty as hell. There is no denial of that whatsoever, especially on this camp. What they did to undermine Bernie during the primaries was clear, and I do think it's important that the American public was aware of that. So I was fine with those leaks 100%. However, there is no evidence to indicate that votes were changed, or that voting machines were hacked into, or that votes were tampered with in any way, shape, or form. To me, that is rigging. Manipulating and rigging are two completely different things. And just this constant narrative that was coming out during the election about rigging, rigging, rigging. There was no rigging. There's no proof of rigging. Manipulation by the DNC in order to undermine Bernie Sanders, absolutely there was evidence of that. But rigging, I mean—
Look, let's not get sidetracked here, because now you're gonna get me on a warpath on that. Everybody has a different definition of rigging. And so people just keep assuming that the other person has the other definition of rigging. Some people mean rigging means the DNC picked one side and helped that side. That definitely happened, definitely. The DNC chair admitted it. Some other people legitimately think rigging, that word, means actually changing votes. There's not nearly enough evidence. People will say, oh, I got the snapshot on, no, nobody's ever proven that, okay? So I don't want to get sidetracked on that, and that drives me crazy when people make declarative statements about what the word rigging means. Anyway, on this issue, that particular communication with Donald Trump Jr., it is damning. WikiLeaks, by saying you should not concede the election if you lose and you should challenge it. Number one, it clearly shows that they have a perspective, and it might be fine to have a perspective, but they were pro-Trump. Now it is absolutely clear. And by the way, you could say, hey, if the Democrats want to imprison you or do God knows what else to you, and in the case of Hillary Clinton, maybe murder you, you might be pro-Trump too. Okay, but they were pro-Trump. That's fine, but they were pro-Trump. That communication clearly proves it. Okay, and by the way, like I said, it's okay to have a perspective. So they were pro-Trump, but they should be honest about it. And they're not, okay? The second reason why that's damning is, wait, why do you care if the election's already over that he not concede? That sounds like you want an absolute mess. Mm-hmm. And you don't care if he actually won the election or not. You didn't say if you think you won the election, you shouldn't concede. You said you shouldn't concede no matter what. which then to me says, oh god damn it, did you work with the Russians? I mean, is it not just that you got access to emails either through the Russians or somewhere else? It's that you actually worked with them because the Russians want to cause a mess here. That is now absolutely proven. They had the troll farms. Not only did they do all these different things in the election, but outside of the election, years before the election, they would set up Facebook accounts that were seemingly liberal and seemingly conservative. They would try to get us to fight. They were trying to rip us apart. What is a good way to rip us apart? Don't concede the election and say, no, no matter what happened, I'm going to fight anyway. Why is WikiLeaks saying that? If you all you care about, hey, you got a perspective and you think Donald Trump is wonderful and you want him to win, that's one thing. You want to rip the country apart for what reason? Well, I know the Russians want to rip us apart because that's already on the record in all the different ways that have been proven that they've been trying to do that. So to me, that particular message is actually really damning for WikiLeaks, and it's an absolute shame because they publish really valuable information. And I wish they would just do that. And again, I don't even mind if they went an extra step and had a perspective. But to not be honest about it and then to potentially work with the Russians to try to split us apart, god damn it, why'd you do that? And by the way, that is not conclusive, but it is an important piece of evidence. And denying that it's important is ridiculous. It is important.
I also want to just quickly note that they kept urging Trump to give his tax returns to WikiLeaks. So they could essentially, I'm paraphrasing what they said, but control the messaging around his tax returns. Because WikiLeaks was under the assumption that it would eventually get leaked anyway. And it would be better if WikiLeaks handled it as opposed to an media organization like MSNBC or the New York Times.
So 90% of that I have no problem with. They're saying, give us your tax returns and we'll publish them. Every single media organization would have done likewise. Maybe they were even tricking Trump, you could argue, and they now, Julian Assange is arguing after the fact that no, I was trying to coerce him into or trick him into giving me the tax returns and I'd publish them. And do other journalists do that? Yes. The only slight issue there is, so they said, so that we can improve the perception of our impartiality and that we wouldn't be perceived, as another quote, perceived as coming from a pro-Trump or pro-Russia source. Well, if behind the scenes you're saying, look, I'm on your side, but I need to appear not to be on your side, well, that is by definition not being an honest actor. So that's a shame.
Yes, and then finally, there's a lot of other stuff, but let's shorten this a little bit. One of the final messages that was sent to Donald Trump Jr. By the way, at some point he just stopped responding to them. And at this point he had stopped responding. Hi Don, hope you've been doing well. In relation to Mr. Assange, Obama, Clinton placed pressure on Sweden, the UK and Australia, his home country, to illicitly go after Mr. Assange. It would be real easy and helpful for your dad to suggest that Australia appoint Assange ambassador to Washington DC. So this was, look, my read of it was an attempt to kind of let Assange off on some of the sexual assault or rape allegations that were lodged against him. And so maybe this was a way to get out of it. I don't know. But it was interesting because it seemed as though they wanted something in return for what they were doing.
All right. So Assange wants to get the hell out of the prison that he's been put into by the Western governments. I don't blame him for that. Is this a wacky scheme to do that? Yes, it's particularly wacky. And he knows it, and they say it even in the messages that it's not going to work, but it's about framing. So, okay, well, all right, you work with the Trump campaign for your own purposes, and I get it. But I wish you'd have been way more transparent about that. The whole point of WikiLeaks is transparency. And I do have a significant problem with that they were not transparent about their motives and who they supported in this campaign. Now, having said that, as I've been saying throughout this piece, 8 out of 10 of these allegations that everybody else in the press is trading as bombshells, the rest of the press does on a daily basis.
Okay. So let's take a break. We have a lot of other news to get to, but later on we will get to Jeff Sessions' hearing with Congress and what he had to say about links to Russia.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Our members of the day are Michael Lemmy and Connie Van Pinksteren. The members make this show possible. TYTnetwork.com/join. Now let me go to a couple of tweets. Matthew Reed says, "This is Julian Assange looking out for Julian Assange." I think that that is incredibly accurate. Jeff Waldorf says, "It's been incredibly clear Assange and WikiLeaks didn't like Hillary Clinton. Establishment Dems did threaten to drone him after all." So I think Jeff is making the point that, look, you know, you're complaining that they are not open about their perspective, but that was fairly clear, Jeff is saying. Daniel Pareja on another note says, "So now that tweets can be 280 characters, does that mean Trump's intelligence briefings are twice as long?" Good question.
What intelligence briefings?
Right. How's that for an oxymoron? Trump's intelligence briefings. Let me see Let me see justicedemocrats.com/too strong. See where we are for. No, we're very similar place that we were before. All right, we're trying to reach 24,000 for the four new Just Democrat candidates that were announced. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. All right. See, 24,000 is not a big goal, but it makes a big, big difference in those races in Kansas, Hawaii, Illinois, and New Mexico. Let's make that happen. Okay, Anna, yes. What's next?
All right. Some Republican lawmakers and one prominent Fox News host have been badgering Attorney General Jeff Sessions in regard to this supposed Uranium One scandal involving Hillary Clinton, and they want an investigation. And it's interesting because now the Attorney General, or I should say the Justice Department, has released a letter to House Judiciary Committee Chair Robert Goodlatte in regard to a potential investigation, a review for a potential investigation into Hillary Clinton and the Uranium One deal. Now, just to give you a quick context into the Uranium One deal. The Hill had published a report based on a book that was written by a Breitbart editor at large that accused Hillary Clinton of being part of this pay-to-play scheme where she granted, the allegations was that she granted Russia access to uranium in the United States. And every bit of investigation into this so far has proven that this is inaccurate, and I'll get into that later.
I kind of disagree with that.
Okay, well, the evidence shows that it is completely inaccurate and is not backed up by facts whatsoever. There were 9 federal agencies that approved the deal. There's no evidence whatsoever that Hillary Clinton was even aware of it. She didn't even have veto power or unilateral decision-making power when it came to that particular issue. The uranium that Russia was able to obtain through that deal is not allowed to leave the United States. They're able to use it here in the United States. And Russia has more uranium than the United States ever will have. And so, yeah, they already have weapons. Like this notion that, oh, the world has become more unsafe because Hillary Clinton signed on to this Uranium One deal. It's just inaccurate. The facts don't bear that out whatsoever.
Well, look, now, okay. So if you say that, you know, I acknowledge everything you say except for one important distinction, which is the Clinton Foundation did get a lot of money from these same people who helped this deal go through. And Bill Clinton did go and get paid personally hundreds of thousands of dollars in Russia right around the same time. Does that create at least an appearance of a conflict of interest?
Of course
yes.
It does. Yes.
Did Hillary Clinton have potentially have a role to play? Did she unilaterally make the decision? No, Anna's absolutely right. She did not unilaterally make the decision. Do we have any evidence that she wrote a memo saying, hey, I got paid, make sure this deal goes through? No, there's no evidence of that, right? But you have her foundation and her husband getting paid by these guys at the same time that she is part of an approval process that happens to go through. It's a terrible, terrible idea to go get paid at the same time as this deal is going through. Because even if you didn't have anything to do with it, it certainly
really
looks
bad.
Like that.
Right.
So there is evidence publicly that they took money and then Hillary Clinton helped to approve the deal. So I think that if you wanted to investigate it back then, I think it would have been a perfectly legitimate investigation and you might have found further evidence. To investigate it now, years later, after they're no longer in power, And because Donald Trump has specifically asked for a political investigation, is a completely different story and completely outrageous.
So I just want to be clear about one thing before we move forward, because the burden of proof that we use for Trump and potential Russian collusion is a very high burden of proof, and I believe that's fair. But when it comes to Hillary Clinton, it seems like we don't utilize the same burden of proof. She did not personally approve anything. There's no evidence that she personally approved anything. There isn't even any evidence that she was aware of the deal. Now, I agree with you that that money and that corruption is a bad look, and it's a bad look on a number of issues, and I think that's ultimately what led to her losing the election. She's so damn corrupt. But again, to say that she personally played a role in that decision making, we don't have the evidence for that.
And I didn't say that.
What? Well, you said played a role in the decision making.
No, this State Department absolutely positively played a role,
yes,
in that decision. Now, it might be that the Secretary of State was clueless and was not involved in that decision. Or it might be that she was completely involved. No one knows. I mean, so would I have investigated at the time? Goddamn right I would have investigated it. I would have said, wait, your husband just took hundreds of thousands of dollars from the guys who would like to make this deal happen and put it in his pocket, in other words, your pocket. And then they gave money to your foundation on top while you're part of the process that approves this deal. No, I'd like to investigate that and find out if you had a role to play. Okay, but this is 6-7 years later. They're not in office. They lost. So this is nothing but a political scheme by Trump to try to do diversion tactics. So this, you don't have to worry about the content of that long ago deal. So it's obvious. Trump says in public, it's the saddest thing that I can't interfere with the Justice Department. In public just 10 days ago said that Jeff Sessions and the Justice Department, it's very discouraging that they're not going after Hillary Clinton. So if you think that it's problematic that Hillary Clinton might have been involved in that deal, I agree with you. But then you should be way more worried that Donald Trump is clearly saying, do a political retribution and I want to interfere with the Justice Department. I'm saying it in public. With Hillary Clinton, you don't have enough evidence. With Trump, he gives you the evidence. He says, do a political investigation of Hillary Clinton because there's a special counsel against me, so I want a special counsel against her.
Yeah,
he admits it.
Yeah, I want a distraction strategy, and here it is. So, and look, it drives me absolutely insane. Hillary's not the president, okay? I don't care about Hillary. Hillary is the most irrelevant person. The only time Hillary is relevant is when she's trying to play a role in US politics again. But right now, she's completely irrelevant. You are the president of the United States. You're accused of collusion with Russia. And in my opinion, more importantly, having some shady financial dealings with Russia that could be playing a role in your policy making decisions that could actually undermine our democracy and the best interests of the American people. That matters to me way more than some deal that Hillary Clinton may or may not have known about from years ago. Okay, regarding uranium that never left the United States. All right, so let's talk about what Jeff Sessions is doing. The Attorney General and the Justice Department, yes, it's part of the executive branch. They are not supposed to be influenced by the president, okay? But it appears that he is not only being influenced by the president, he's being influenced by Robert Goodlatte, again, the House Judiciary Committee chair. They want an investigation. And then now, more importantly, Fox News host Jeanine Pirro, whatever her name is, ranting and raving about this Uranium One deal on Fox News because, hey, let's do whatever we can to distract from the fact that we have a crooked person as the president of the United States. Apparently, Jeanine Pirro had met with Trump personally and urged this investigation to happen. If you are unclear of what Pirro's tone is, take a look at this video.
Obama and the Clintons sold us out. Our uranium, and with it, the security of our nation. Follow me. They lied to us. They said there was nothing to worry about, that the sale of 20% of America's uranium to our enemy, Russia, wasn't really a problem. Jeff Sessions needs to immediately release the informant from the non-disclosure agreement. Number two, Andrew McCabe, needs to be fired as number two in the FBI. And number three, Robert Mueller, instead of heading an investigation into determining whether Donald Trump colluded with Russia, should be the target of an investigation for his role in covering up the extortion scheme that allowed Russia to access America's uranium. You wrote a letter to Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein, and I'm furious with Rosenstein. I mean, this guy appoints Mueller when he knows that Mueller was on the Uranium One deal. He knows Mueller's friends with Comey. Rosenstein was on the Uranium One prosecution, the underlying case, and they're dancing with the devil right now. And I'm not even talking about the criminality and money to the Clintons and their so-called charitable foundation that accompanied the sale of our uranium to Russia. Hillary should not get a free pass because she lost an election. Her reign was one of bold, brazen, in-your-face, pay-to-play corruption. It's time to stop this psychopath. Why are they dragging their feet? Why are they not demanding that Mueller pull back? What are they afraid of? Attorney General Jeff Sessions must open a new federal criminal investigation into Hillary Rodham Clinton, impanel a grand jury immediately, and void the false Clinton immunity deals. Easily done, since each one has been violated.
Oh, God, man. That was like nails to a chalkboard.
Man, how the mighty have fallen. Now we have the President of the United States of America, an office that people used to respect, getting orders from this two-bit clown. She was in the Oval Office, inside the White House, telling Trump to do this investigation. That circus clown, I'll tell you what is going on, okay? And she goes, time to stop the psychopath. I assume that she's not talking about herself, but she should be.
Yeah.
Time to stop Hillary Clinton? No, we're past that time. You already stopped her in 2016. So what do you mean, stop her from doing what? She's walking around in the woods. This has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. One, it's a distraction. Number two, as she said over and over there, well, we have to get Robert Mueller out because he was kind of involved in this thing. You don't know what he was involved or not involved in. In other words, you want to get Robert Mueller out because he's investigating Donald Trump.
Right.
This is an obvious obstruction of justice play. You're doing it right in front of everybody.
I think the person who looks weakest and the most pathetic is Attorney General Jeff Sessions, especially considering the verbal beating that he received by Trump because he recused himself after some of these revelations regarding Russia and the meetings that he had with Kislyak. So now, in response to all of this stuff, Jeff Sessions has directed senior federal prosecutors to evaluate the lawmakers' request for investigations into a number of matters related to Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, the Uranium One sale, and former FBI Director James Comey's leaks about his conversations with President Trump. Now, to be clear, he has not launched an investigation. He is saying that he has directed federal prosecutors to evaluate whether or not an investigation can move forward. And based on the lack of evidence in regard to this Uranium One deal and the lack of evidence reinforcing these conspiracy theories about it, it's unlikely that the investigation is going to happen. They don't have the evidence to move forward with an investigation. Mark my words, you will see that play out the way I just said.
Well, I hope you're right, but so two things about it. I'll tell you who's definitely guilty and who the jury's out on. The Republicans in Congress, every once in a while, there'll be a Jeff Flake and a Bob Corker that comes out and seems to hold Trump accountable. No, it's just words. But the Republicans in Congress just asked the Justice Department to launch a political strike back move and completely taint our Justice Department and not actually seek justice, but turn it into a political witch hunt. So in the case of Trump, there's actually evidence and they're collecting that evidence. In the case of Hillary, they're almost admitting, we're trying to do a witch hunt. We're trying to get someone who's not relevant anymore because we care about political strike back. Mm-hmm. So the Republicans in Congress are the worst. The jury's in on that. They've specifically requested this. Now, as far as Sessions in the Justice Department, that jury's out. This is them saying, okay, we will see if we will do that investigation. So don't conclude yet that Sessions is dirty and is definitely going to do it. If they do the investigation and Sessions does not recuse himself, either one of those things, both of those things, terrible. And then the jury will be in on Sessions. But if they look at it and go, there's nothing to investigate, well then, okay, then they did the right thing. So we'll see.
We'll see. Okay, I think we have to take another break, unfortunately. But when we come back, Jeff Sessions' testimony, and later on in the hour, I really want to get to Hannity's backpedal on Keurig. It's awesome. My favorite story of the day.
I told you.
Come right back.